Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining us this morning, the president and CEO, longtime president and CEO of the Tyler Area Chamber of Commerce and Tyler Economic Development Council, Tom Mullins. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, John. Good to be with you.
You bet. Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus. In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Tom, it's always good to have you in the office and on the radio. We'll just preface this by saying we can't guarantee a whole lot of good news today, but we'll try and keep it as upbeat as we possibly can, but let people know what's going on. And as the economic development and economic guru of the Tyler Smith County area for over 30 years, what better person to bring in to tell us what's going on in the economy, what can we be looking for, how should we handle it, what can we do to make the best of it. And let's start off with some of the basics. Economic trends is the first category we're going to go into. Let's kind of set the scene by telling people about the Tyler Smith County area, the number of people, median age, and just basic figures we'll need to get out there.
Glad to do that, John. The trend data that we track, at the beginning of the year, we were headed for a record year in the economy. All of our growth and any local or state or national growth is driven by population numbers. Mm-hmm. Tyler, Smith County combined is what's called an MSA, Metropolitan Statistical Area. It's now about 230,000 people. It's by far the largest population center east of Interstate 35 and north of Houston. And it is the fastest growing, most diverse economy in that whole part of the state. And it's also one of two cities in the state of Texas that's getting younger. Everybody else is aging as part of the baby boom generation. Mm. But Midland and Tyler are both getting younger, and Tyler is getting younger at a faster pace. Our average age, a lot of people guess it's probably in the mid to upper 50s or 60s because retirees have been moving into Texas and East Texas in great numbers. But actually, the average age here is 34 years and getting younger, driven by the fastest growing demographic, Hispanic families. But we also have 23,000 full-time college students here between UT Tyler, TJC, and Texas College. And a lot of those students are finding work in this area and staying in this area, and they contribute to that younger demographic. Our unemployment up until the beginning of March was one of the lowest ever, 3.3%. And now, because of the COVID-19 virus, it has skyrocketed in Tyler Smith County and all over the country. But we were setting records with low unemployment, jobs being created, population growth, home sales, home values, sales tax revenues, airport activity, all of the things that we track were up. Even average household income, per capita income, in Tyler, there was a national story that came out in February showing that our average income was one of the strongest in the state of Texas at $55,000 per household. And that is great news because it gives people more discretionary spending capability and better quality of life. Now all of that's been turned on its head with the shutdown of the economy. Our unemployment rate has tripled to almost 15%, and we have thousands of people who've been forced to leave their jobs and leave the workforce. And we're just going to have to figure out how to buckle down, get through this, help where we can help, and be part of the uptick and the solution as the economy reemerges sometime later this year.
Okay. Let's go through some of these other figures, not in any great detail. I think they're basically all telling pretty much the same story, but maybe just a few numbers: home sales, home sale values, the sales tax down, and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, home sales were headed for a record. I mean, even year to date so far, their home sales are up 15%, despite the 5% downturn that we've been able to track so far in March and April. But I've talked to members of the real estate community, and they're still seeing some pretty strong activity, mm-hmm. which is very encouraging. And even though the numbers were down slightly for April, around 4 or 5%, the value of the homes sold has been going up consistently. It's now average value is about $250,000. Now, that's good news and bad news. It's good news for the seller because they're getting their max price.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there are two or three offers on the same residence, so people are competing for the homes. But it's bad for new buyers because it's hard for first-time homeowners to get into the market with more expensive average pricing.
Yeah. Just got some sales tax numbers in over the past week or so. And on our newscasts, of course, we always feature Tyler and Longview. You want to talk a little bit about the rest of East Texas as we go through the show, by the way. Sales tax down 4.9% for April. Hotel occupancy tax down 3.3%. Who can travel? Very, very few people. Airport activity down 34.2% for the month of March. But American Airlines still with 2 to 3 flights per day. And we got some good news this week, interesting news. Frontier is coming back in with, I guess, one flight per week to Denver starting May 10th.
You know, Frontier came into this market last summer with a lot of fanfare, and they started off with 3 flights a week. I think it was Sunday, Thursday, and then coming back in Sunday. But they... they started to cut that back at the beginning of the year, and they announced they were going to totally leave the Tyler market effective June 1. But just yesterday, they announced that they're going to stay in the Tyler market. It's been a very good numbers market for them. From what we know from talking to airport officials and travel agents and others who are using that service, the planes were almost always full.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Frontier have compromised. Instead of leaving the market, they're going to stay. They're down, instead of 3 flights a day back and forth to Denver, or 3 flights a week, they're going to be 1 per week on Sunday. So going out midday Sunday and then coming back in the evening Sunday. So that's good. That'll help our airport numbers, but keep in mind, American, which had averaged 4 to 5 flights per day, is now down to 2 or 3 flights per day. Although I talked to the airport this week, and they said those 2 or 3 flights have fairly strong response.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people nationally and internationally are very nervous about getting into a small space, like the passenger compartment of an airplane.
Yeah.
Being physically close to somebody, even though they're practicing some levels of separation, you know, you're breathing recirculated air. It's just been scaring people about flying, especially the leisure traveler.
Yeah.
But some business people still need that service, and they're still using it.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Tom Mullins, President and CEO of the Tyler Area Chamber of Commerce, Tyler Economic Development Council. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus, and we're talking about the economy during the age of COVID-19. As far as Frontier, I guess we'll take our good news anywhere we can get it. Now, oil and gas, just part and parcel of life in East Texas for so many, many, many years, and that sector is actually, well, it's just taken a hit. No two ways about it.
Yeah, it's interesting, John. When you and I first met over 30 years ago, we both kind of came into this market at the same time. I was here because oil and gas had collapsed in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And the economy at that time of East Texas was very much tied to the energy sector. We've worked diligently over the last 3 decades to diversify away from our dependence on energy, but we still have a strong energy component. And this... this energy economy has been hit harder than it ever has been hit in its entire history. You know, the oil and gas markets were hit by 2 phenomena that happened almost at the same time. Excuse me. They were victims of a price war between Saudi Arabia and Russia,
mm-hmm.
which drove the price per barrel down very low. And then you had the compounding factor of the international and domestic economies collapsing because of COVID-19.
Right.
So you actually had a situation a couple of weeks ago where price futures went negative.
Yeah.
They'd never done that in their history. Now you're seeing some clawback. Prices have, the last few days have been in the mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some optimism that going forth into the summer, that the gas exploration economy might start recover, which is good news for East Texas because we have the Haynesville Shale play here, which covers almost everything east of Tyler to the Louisiana border and then the western and northwestern parts of Louisiana. So we're hearing some predictions that that part of the economy might see some strong activity later on this summer.
Okay. Halliburton closed in Texas. Kilgore plant moving its employees to, I guess, Bossier City, Louisiana.
Yeah, after 87 years.
87 years.
In East Texas. Yeah.
And another plant in Texas, also one in Oklahoma, shut down. Demand for oil is dropping because people can't drive as much as they used to. And natural gas prices might go up this summer. That's an interesting component of this conversation. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
Well, you know, it's a lot of detail about the energy economy that I don't possess, but just reading some material sent to me by professionals in the oil and gas industry and talking to economists who focus on that sector, like Dr. Ray Perriman, they're telling us that there's some interesting dynamics being in play in terms of oil versus gas price activity. Oil looks like it's going to continue to be low for a period of time, but there's some expectation that the demand for natural gas might be on the rise later on this spring and summer, which could be good news for East Texas.
Okay. Talking to Tom Mullins, Tyler Economic Development Council, Tyler Area Chamber of Commerce President and CEO. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus, the topic. Not exactly a new one, unfortunately, after 2 months, but the economy and the age of COVID-19. Talking about Dr. Ray Perriman, he is an internationally recognized economic expert, originally from Lyndale, based in Waco now. Tyler and Longview both get to hear from him every year for economic updates, usually during the winter season, along with a number of other cities around Texas. And I know that for many, many years, you personally, along with the rest of your troops, have really trusted his predictions. And you tell me that they're most of the time they're borne out once, you know, we give those predictions a few months to develop. The U.S., according to Dr. Perriman, stands to lose $1 trillion. Let's just start there and talk a little bit more about that.
Keep in mind that the U.S. economy is about a $19 or $20 trillion economy. So to lose a trillion in value is a huge number. That is driven by the fact that such a large segment of the economy is shut down. Consumer confidence has just dropped away completely. And consumer spending drives 70% of the economy in any time. But in normal times, if consumers feel confident, they'll go out and spend and make purchases. That stimulates manufacturing and distribution and the other business-to-business part of the economy. So we've had a double whammy here. We've had a huge drop-off, if not just a complete stop, in terms of consumer spending. And we've had international trade come to a screeching halt because this pandemic is called PAN for a reason. That's global.
Yes.
So all those trade areas in Asia and Europe and South America have been cut off. And so we've been hit at both ends of what drives the economy. Consumer side, 70%, and the remaining 30% in terms of trade and business-to-business activity.
Okay. Now, we've heard comparisons off and on, first of all, to the recession of about 2008, and also more comparisons than I'm comfortable with to the Great Depression of the 1930s. Now, from what I understand from you and Dr. Perriman and other experts, we're on more solid ground than we were back in the 1930s because we learned our lesson. And the national economy, you tell us, much stronger and diverse than it was back then.
Yeah, Ray Perriman really kind of chafes at the comparison between the Great Depression. He gets a lot of people asking him, is this going to be the same or worse? And he says absolutely not. The fundamentals are so different. The Great Depression was much... the economy at that time was much less diverse than it is now, number one. Number two, there's a much stronger interaction between the public sector and the government and business sector than there was then. Back then, the Hoover administration's position was hands off.
Yeah. You know,
we don't interfere with the private sector. They're on their own. And the private sector just couldn't compete and recover. What actually recovered the main force that caused the recovery of the 10 years of depression was World War II.
Yeah.
Because we had massive government spending and military arms and mobilization, and that was the stimulus that was finally needed to get us out of the 10-year doldrums.
Okay. Possible hopes of recovery, and we get into some kind of technical jargon here, but it's not too hard to explain. You're talking about the prospects of a V curve, a U curve, or a W or double V curve. Explain the difference between those three scenarios.
You've got to, in your mind's eye, imagine that you're looking at a chart, and the chart has economic numbers being graphed on it in terms of the economy and different parts of the economy. And what economists are saying, the V formation is a rapid drop in the economy, which we're experiencing now. It hits bottom, and then in a fairly short period of time, within a month or two, it shoots back up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get the V shape. Most economists now, looking at the numbers, are predicting a U shape, which is the rapid drop, but then you have a prolonged period, not just 2 or 3 months, maybe 6 or 18 months, of the economy being down, and then the recovery shoots back up rapidly. And then the last chart model is what's called the W or the double V, where it goes down quickly, stays down a short period of time, comes up quickly, and then you may have a second round of the virus where consumers stop spending and pull back. It drops again for a short period of time and then comes back up. So it creates kind of a W formation on the chart.
Mm-hmm. And we will just have to wait and see. But to me, it's good that people like Ray Perryman and others are keeping an open mind about this and admitting that we just don't know what's going to happen, but trying to create as many models or scenarios as possible so we'll be as ready as we conceivably could be no matter what happens. That's the way it comes across to me.
Well, that's an interesting and very insightful observation, John, because this is called the novel COVID virus.
Yeah.
That means we haven't dealt with it before.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how it's going to mutate, how long it's spread. We don't even have a clue how many people have been exposed and have the virus and don't even know it yet. Because the demand for testing goes way beyond the capability of providing tests. And so everybody's kind of throwing darts at what might happen and what they're predicting. And we're mm-hmm. all going to just have to ride it through.
Yeah. And as we talked to Tom Mullins, President, CEO of the Tyler Area Chamber of Commerce and Tyler Economic Development Council, this morning on InFocus, I'm John Sims. The economy in the age of the coronavirus is our topic. The consumer, 70% of the economy, can't spend a lot of money if you're locked in your homes and not spending money.
Correct.
But now things are starting to loosen up a little bit, and that creates another set of possibilities, both on a statewide and on a local and regional level, Tyler, East Texas, Longview, wherever. Some of the restrictions are beginning to loosen up. You can go into probably most dining areas now, as long as there aren't more than
25% currently, maybe 50% by the middle of the month.
Yeah, yeah. What have you seen? It's real early to tell. What, if anything, have you seen so far? Is that showing any signs?
Oh, absolutely. I think people are incredibly frustrated by having to change their lifestyles and not be able to go out and about. And many people are taking advantage of the relaxation and restrictions. But here's the reality. And I've talked to people in the medical sector this week, people in the retail sector, the mall management group. And it's all going to be driven by the level of confidence that shoppers have in going out. You can open up these venues, but if people are still nervous about catching the virus, they're still going to be reluctant to go out and mingle and be too close to other people. And the same is true in the medical sector. Even though elective surgeries now have been allowed to go forth again, which is the real main source of revenue for all medical services, people are being reluctant to set appointments and to come out and interact with other patients and be in hospital settings. Even though it's allowed, people are going to have to gain confidence that they're not going to get sick as a result.
Mm-hmm. Moving along here, and bringing the UT Tyler Soles College of Business and Hibbs Institute into the conversation. That university and that college and that institute have been real strong about statistics and models and projections during the relatively short time that Soles College of Business and Hibbs Institute have been in business. They're shooting us some other figures that, again, it's really kind of like a same song, different verse. U.S. retail sales down 8.7% in March, and we're kind of moving quickly here because we do have about 10 minutes left in the show, but Tyler area lost $50 million a week in April from the closing of non-essential businesses. Smaller firms were hit the hardest, no surprise there. Let's talk a little bit in terms of solutions. And early in the game, the Better Business Bureau, East Texas Communities Foundation, Brookshire's, more recently John Soles Foods, stepped up to the plate and began collecting money and just really distributing assistance of different kinds to some of these folks to kind of help keep them going. Buying gift cards, that's one of the things that you highlight is something that people can do to help.
Well, that's a very creative and aggressive effort locally. And I think you got to think of the response to the COVID in terms of three levels. You've got the local response, like these gift cards and retail to go and opening up parts of stores and restaurants. Then you've got the state response. There's certain state loan and grant programs that have been made available. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the huge federal response.
Yeah, with the, which is ongoing. We're hoping to see another stimulus package fairly soon.
I think it would be number four that they would put out there. And there's been personal rebates of $1,200. There have been extensions of unemployment compensation. There's been the payroll protection plan, which helps small companies keep employees for a period of time. But at the end of the day, John, really all of this is a Band-Aid, given the fact that we have this huge economy. We can't possibly cover the losses that are happening in both the public and the private and the nonprofit sectors. So these programs are efforts to contribute, to provide help at some level. They are helpful. People appreciate them. But until the economy is able to recover on its own, until the markets are able to open up and people have confidence to come back out, they're little more than temporary solutions.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you shouldn't support them. I mean, the true. Better Business Bureau grant program is still going. You can support the effort that the East Texas Communities Foundation started a few weeks ago.
Absolutely.
They had a very, very big East Texas Giving Day,
set
a record. Mm-hmm. John Soles Foods, Brookshire's, go online. My suggestion, look some of these things up, see, shoot them $25-$30, however much you can afford, and every little bit helps. It's not going to solve the problem, but don't ignore it either.
Right, and they bring out another thing, too. Grocery chains, Brookshire's is a great example. Because people are eating more at home, they're buying more groceries. Brookshire's has had to add people. John Soles Foods, which provides pre-cooked fajita meats, chicken and beef, for restaurants and grocery chains, have shifted away from restaurants and now are busy 24/7, 7 days a week, trying to keep up with the demand from the grocery chains. And they had a great story out this week from John Soles about the millions of pounds of food that they've contributed to food banks in East Texas and in the North Houston area.
Yeah. The local and state response has been well received with 70% support. That's an important point. And Tyler's diverse economy is going to help us recover more quickly. And you have some bullet points here. There are about nine different economic sectors that you think are all going to play a crucial role in helping us stay afloat and eventually bounce back.
Well, you know, that goes back to our original opening comments, John. When you and I first met each other, there was an overdependence on the energy sector. It was probably upper teens, 20% of the economy. Mm-hmm. So when it went down, it pulled everything down with it. We've worked diligently, as other communities in Texas have over the last few decades, to diversify away from that. And now we have multiple sources of revenue coming into our economy: medical, finance, higher education, technology. We're a retail hub for all of East Texas. Manufacturing, distribution, tourism, government, retirees, and energy is still in there. But it's just not as big a factor, as big a piece of the economy as it was historically.
Okay. A few minutes left in the show as we visit with Tom Mullins on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Tom, of course, the longtime president and CEO of the Tyler Area Chamber, Tyler Economic Development Council. I know that as someone who's basically concerned with what happens in Tyler and Smith County, you have to focus on that. But partnerships are so important. That's why we have East Texas Council of Governments. That's why we have partnerships with Longview, other communities around East Texas. During your visits and chats with people in Longview, Kilgore, Nacogdoches, some of the other communities around East Texas, what are you hearing? I know you're hearing a lot of the same things. Are they facing similar challenges? Are there areas that kind of pop up as being specifically better or worse than what's happening in Smith County?
Well, I think Smith County and Tyler have been fortunate to get more diversified than other parts of East Texas that are still more tied to the energy sector historically than we have evolved to. So they have had some significant losses there, Halliburton being the example we talked about.
Not a Kilgore, yeah.
87 years in Kilgore. But they've done some tremendous work in terms of diversifying their areas, too. So we're all suffering in terms of the shutdown with consumer spending cut off and trade being cut off. But we continue to work together. We have always, over the years, marketed East Texas. We have the I-20 corridor marketing effort. We're working, not right now, with Longview, Kilgore, and Gregg County on setting up a foreign trade zone connected to the
right.
Gregg County Foreign Trade Zone. So those are partnerships that are ongoing and benefit all of us.
Okay. As far as, and getting back to Tyler and the Smith County area, you have some strong prospects. So much of what you and I have talked about over the last 30, 31 years has been about prospects and even better, the ones that actually pull through. But you have about three or four right now that you're working with that you think could I would imagine, play a significant role in getting things back going.
Absolutely.
Again.
You know, as a matter of fact, this year, the calendar year started off with a bang. We had some great prospect activity. One company has already announced, a company based in Charlotte, North Carolina, WasteQuip. They make waste handling bins and containers, and they've acquired a facility at the east side of Tyler that used to be used by Howe Baker for years.
Mm-hmm.
And that facility is ideally suited for this kind of manufacturing. It's got overhead cranes. It's got all the heavy utilities, electric, gas, welding stations. And they're going to invest $6 million in that facility and hire 133 people initially,
okay,
with the potential of going much higher than that. And these are all skilled jobs. These are welders, mechanics, machinists, engineers, technical jobs. And then we have a Chicago steel manufacturer that's looking at a $6 million, 64-job project for the Tyler area. An Arkansas equipment manufacturer would invest $25 million, create 150 jobs. And we're working with an investment group based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that has a half a million square foot distribution project they're eyeing Tyler Smith County for. Those are great primary companies, that is, companies that will be making something here or distributing something from here that'll go all over the Southwest or nationally and bring new money into this economy. So we're going to continue to do what we're set up to do, and that is work with these prospects. Some of them have had to slow down a little bit for the obvious reasons, the impact of the virus, but they want to do these projects, and we're confident, even though they may take a little longer, that we've got a good shot of getting them here in Tyler Smith County.
Okay, well, we're getting down close to the end of the show, and I guess we can close on sort of a good note just with those prospects alone. Maybe just a little under a minute left, and how would you wrap this up, Tom? And I think the best way is, what can people do? What, if you had one piece of advice for the people trying to ride this thing out, what would it be?
Well, let me tell you, and we've been saying this consistently, listen to the medical experts and the scientists. You know, we are so fortunate in Tyler Smith County to have the medical base here, the research capability of the UT Health Science Center, which, incidentally, people need to remember, their primary health focus is respiratory-related ailments.
Okay.
This COVID virus is a lung virus.
Okay, so, and we do have to kind of cut it short here. I hate to do it, but stay in close touch with the medical field, I guess, is the big
piece
of advice.
Pay attention to what they're advising and take care.
Thanks, Tom. Tom Mullins, our guest this morning on In Focus, Tyler Economic Development Council and Tyler Area Chamber. I'm John Sims. Thanks for joining us. See you again next week.
Thanks,
on
John.
In Focus.